Well, good afternoon, everyone. It's good to be here on John's Sabbath day, and I'd also like to mention the ones that have checked in by, I guess, telephone or Skype. I assume that's working. My little chickadee, shouldn't say that. My little Teresa. Don't tell her I said that. Oh, Robert's trying to tell me she's listening. Yeah, she went down to visit her son and daughter, and so she's checking in by telephone today. So anyway, welcome all the people that are checking in and able just to assemble in that way and to hear God's word. You know, the world has been under the influence of Satan the devil since the days of Adam and Eve, and we all know that, but I'm going to read a few scriptures here while I'm trying to remember what my subject is. So, I'm going to read a few. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, it says, "Whom the God of this age," that's Satan, "has blinded the minds of those who do not believe and who do not obey, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." And you know, we see that influence today. I know all of us do. It's just really, really sad. And God has, you know, we should all just rejoice. Feast is coming up. It's a time to rejoice that God has called us and revealed these things to us. But it says, you know, in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, it says, Genesis 6, verse 5, and I know I'm going to go too fast for you to turn in the Bible, but hopefully I'll remember to tell you what I'm reading from. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, it says, "And the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Only evil. Every imagination of his heart was only evil. There weren't any good thoughts. And we know that was generally speaking because a man named Noah found favor in God's sight. He was considered a righteous man. But just him and his family is the only ones that survived because it was an evil world. And it seems like when you see the news today, that's almost the case today. And in the book of Jeremiah is, of course, speaking to Judah. It says in Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 7, "As a fountain keeps fresh her waters, so she keeps fresh her evil. Violence and spoil is heard in her. Continually before me are grief and wounds." And I think, you know, that we can kind of grieve today when we just see what's happening. In verse 10 of Jeremiah 6, "To whom shall I speak and give warning?" You know, could we look out today and we see what's happening in the world, and who would we pick out to give warning? "That they may hear." He says, to whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? "Behold, their ears are not circumcised." That is, they're not converted. "And they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is to them a reproach. They have no delight in it." They don't care what God's word says. In fact, there's things going around, you know, if you look checking on the news from time to time, that it could get really rough for people who believe in God in the near future. And of course, we know that God will take care of us, but it's just evil continually. And then in Matthew 24, verse 12, it says, "And because lawlessness shall be multiplied," or I think the King James says, "because lawlessness shall abound, the love of many will grow cold," or wax cold. And we see that. Who has love today? Certainly God's people do. We can see, you know, what the world is like, all the hatred and My subject today, I just saw it here, so now I know. My subject today is the love of God. But first, I wanted to read just two or three scriptures here to just give a little foundation, something we might take note of. In Psalm chapter 119, verse 18, it says, "Open my eyes," a prayer to God, "open my eyes so that I may behold wondrous things out of your law." To me, you know what the psalmist is saying there? That if God doesn't open his eyes, he can read it, but it doesn't mean a whole lot. Just doesn't mean a whole lot. And in verse 34 of Psalm 119, "Give me understanding that I may keep your law and observe it with all my heart." And that's what God says for us to do, that we should love the Lord our God with all of our heart. But in order to do that, the psalmist here says, "Give me understanding that I may be able to do that, that I may be able to love God with all my heart." And we know that we are to develop that love in our hearts. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, "But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned." You know, you could have the Ten Commandments on a little pamphlet. You could hang it on your wall. You could take it to bed with you. You could read it every day. It doesn't mean you understand it. Not in the way God wants us to. Because, you know, that's what the psalmist said. "Give me understanding that I may really be able to love you with all my heart, so I can understand the law." Well, there is love in this world, and we see it. And, of course, 1 Corinthians 13 is a good chapter to read concerning what people can do. It certainly seems like love, and it is love in that way. But, you know, parents have given their lives for their children and grandchildren. You see in times of war, like in Afghanistan and other places, when maybe the parent knows the mother or dad, either one, but knows that they're about to be killed, and their child, how they'll fall down over their child. They'll take a bullet for that child. They're trying to do their best to protect them. Won't do any good if they decide to kill the child as well. But that's what the parents will do. And I think, and we'll read some scriptures where Christ talks a little bit about that, but will we take a bullet for our family and friends? And that's just a metaphorical phrase. Are we willing to die? You know, I've thought about, I know that for my children and for my wife out in Abilene today, I feel pretty sure I'd be willing to take that bullet. But I've thought before, when I look at some of you, I'm kidding. Oh, man. But we're supposed to develop that love for each other. What a tremendous challenge that is. It's a real challenge. So I want to start reading. Oh, yeah, forgot to mention that one thing, that even, I guess, totally pagans, doesn't matter, they have that type of love. And I thought I'd remembered, and I asked Ruth yesterday afternoon, and she thought she remembered that too, that even in Pompeii that was destroyed by the volcano, and you know how whatever that stuff is, it comes over the city and just engulfed the city and the people. And so they have sort of the molds, the body of the person has disintegrated. It disintegrated from when that stuff hit them. But there's a mold there in the shape of a person, that there is a mother hovering over her child just to protect it. So we see, you know, that kind of love. And here's what, in John chapter 15, verse 12, Christ says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. Tough. Now Christ, that's exactly what Christ did. So he was giving us an example. Jesus Christ called us his friends if we obey him. And he laid down his life for us. So he says, no greater love than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. So very important that we learn to love one another. And then it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16, who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So we're going that direction. That's what we want to be. I would like to be willing to know beyond any shadow of a doubt I would die for my friends if I was called upon to do that. And that's a tough, tough call. But here in John chapter 3, verse 16, scripture we're all familiar with, John 3, 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have everlasting life. That is what God wants for everyone who will just believe and obey to have everlasting life. Now then, we know there is a first and a second resurrection. The coming feast days will reveal that to us. And so God is not planning, he's not calling everybody in this age, but their time will come because that's God's will. He wants everyone that will believe to have everlasting life. You know, Christ didn't just when he created Adam and Eve, told them to be fruitful and multiply. He knew that the population of human beings would grow into the billions. And that's what he wanted. He didn't just do that saying, well, I hope everything turns out okay. I'm on this path. I've created these human beings. I hope it all works out. No, he had a plan right from the beginning, and it's not his will that any should perish. And in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And that is maybe hard for some people to understand, but that's God's will. It's not working out today. You know, today there's just first fruits that are called, but the day will come when it works out. And of course, there will be some who will never repent. And we see that. But then I also wanted to read, we see like the great sacrifice that the Father made, the love that God has, that he was willing to give. Actually, you know, what we know and understand is his Son now. We got the Father and the Son, which is a family relationship. We're called the children of God, so we're part of that family. But it wasn't just the love that the Father had. It was also the love that Jesus Christ, our Creator, had. So I wanted to read a few verses here in Philippians chapter 2, verse 6. And starting with Philippians chapter 2, verse 6, who although he existed in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but he emptied himself and was made in the likeness of men and took the form of a servant. And then I just got in here, John chapter 1, verse 14, and the Word was made flesh, that is God, was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So Jesus Christ, he agreed. He didn't consider the fact that he created everything, both visible and invisible, everything that exists. Jesus Christ created it. Bible says that, you know, the Father created it, but through Jesus Christ was the one that actually did it. And he just became a human being. What a tremendous sacrifice that is. And not just a human being to suffer, and you know, like we all do. And we suffer. It was very sad to me to read about Mr. Ken Martin. You know, because I go back to the early days. By the way, I would like to welcome also. We've got a man here in the services today, Mr. Welch. And he's older than me or Mr. Abbott. And I bet you didn't know that could be. Somebody be older than us. But he is. So, yeah, good to have him. Anyway. Oh, yes. Talking about Mr. Martin. I cried a little. Because I thought, well, it's so sad. Because I go back, you know, like, and I thought Mr. Wells going back a long time ago. But I came into the church in 1965. And people like Mr. Martin and so many of the ministers were young men. Some of them fresh out of Ambassador. Our first pastor in 65, he hadn't worked any place except he was a student in Ambassador, graduated and sent out to be pastor of the church. Young men. And we had it all figured out, exactly how things were going to work. Didn't turn out that way. I had it all figured out what I was going to do. I said, well, in 1972, I will be 32 years old. And I thought, I look forward to being in Petra. It's called Petra here, but Petra over there, I understand. I'll be in Petra. I want to help, you know, for the older people and clean out these caves, get things ready. I look forward to what an exciting time that will be. But if that's where we go now, I'm going to have people have to clean out my cave. Because it didn't work out the way we had planned. But it was, you know, it was an exciting time, and God is going to return. Christ is going to return. It's just that his time and our time was not the same. But anyway, yeah, I cried just a little. To me, to go back to those days when the ministers today were young, filled with life, filled with enthusiasm, knew when Christ was going to return, even though we were wrong, it was exciting. And didn't turn out that way. So these things happen in life, but we have to put our trust in God. God's word is truth, and that's what we, you know, put our trust in. In verse 8 it says, "And being found in the manner of man," this is Jesus Christ, being found in the manner or form of man, "he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God has also highly exalted him and bestowed upon him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of beings in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." And then a couple of, well, one scripture I want to read here, like in John chapter 14, verse 15. Christ says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." That's pretty well stated. If you love me, keep my commandments. But people can, twist those things, those words around and come up with their own ideas of, maybe Christ is just saying, well, if you love me, I hope you keep my commandments. No, that's really not what it means. And so I'll put in there Williams' translation. Now, Williams is not literal. He's added a word. And, I think we should be very careful when we do that. But in this case, I don't think he's really distorted the meaning. And I like the way he did it. And sometimes these other translations can make a scripture a little bit plainer to. But he says, if you really love me. Oh, the word really was added. So, you know, he's just meaning the type of love that God is talking about. That you're willing to die for your friends and for God. If you really love me. Now, the Old King James just says, keep my commandments. But he says, if you really love me, you will keep my commandments. I said, oh, I can't really argue with that. I think that's true. That if we really love God, we will keep his commandments. We won't just pick and choose. And then another thing that's revealed here in John chapter 12, verse 49. Christ is talking. He says, for I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me. And I think, you know, this is interesting to me. Because to me, as I think about it, Christ didn't just get up and decide to come. He didn't tell Angel Gabriel, said, hey, would you tell the Father I decided to go down to earth and die for men? That's not what happened. It says, for I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me. So it was the Father that sent Christ. He gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I think, wow, if Christ did that, how much more should we do it? What does the Bible say? And we all will, you know, we'll explain to make scriptures plainer. At least that's what our attempt is to do. We attempt to do that. But it's dangerous if you start adding words that really not there at all. It can make it plainer. I think Williams maybe did there, but it can be dangerous, and modern versions do that big time. And that's something that we need to be aware of, especially if we find trouble understanding what the Bible says. Well, you know, we need to seek counsel in those cases if you don't have all the type of books that could help you on that. You know, we do have a pastor, Mr. Taylor. You can give him a call. And, you know, sometimes I enjoy just, you know, like we go to the Abbots a lot of times, and I enjoy just getting into discussions and people giving what they think about, you know, what the Bible says and in their life. And I enjoy that because maybe we can increase our own understanding. Anyhow, in 1 John chapter 5, verse 3, it says, for this is the love of God. So we want to know what the love of God is. You know, when it comes, you know, the Apostle Paul, he said, I would not have known what sin was, except the law had said, you shall not covet. So the law tells us what sin is. And here it says, for this is the love of God. So this is it, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. And we should, I think, pray like the psalmist did. Give us understanding, that we can understand God's word. Because I'm sure we've all heard this. I grew up hearing this. Some people have a lot of trouble with the Old Testament. You know, when God said, kill all the women and children in a town. What? People have trouble kind of reconciling that. Well, that's what, you know, where we study and we pray and we seek counsel, that we can understand God's law and we can learn to love the Lord our God with all our heart. In John chapter 14, back to John, the Gospel of John 14, 21, he that has my commandments and keeps them, that is, obeys them, he it is that loves me. So that's proof that we love God if we actually obey and keep his commandments. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Then in verse 23 of John 14, Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. So if we don't keep God's word, Christ is saying we really don't love him. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. The one who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear, it's not mine, but it's the Father's who sent me. Wow. Christ has given us some powerful things to just think about. the Father and the Son were one. And we'll read scriptures concerning that. But Jesus Christ did exactly what the Father told him to do. John chapter 15, verse 9. As the Father has loved me, I also have loved you. Live in my love. Tremendous love, a deep love. Verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you shall live in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and live in his love. So if we really want to know the love of God, we have to keep those commandments. And we have to have understanding. Chapter 15, verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. For Christ died for us. So what's that telling us to do for each other? This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. This is God. I know how people think a lot of times that we're human beings are just so carnal. They say, well, you know, he's saying that we just got to do everything the way he says. Well, that's right. Because he's God. We're human beings that get our reasoning powers all mixed up. Sometimes don't know whether we're coming or going. Or one lady I worked with years ago, she'd say she didn't know whether she was washing or hanging out. So if you're old enough to know what that means, washing or hanging out. Some of my mother do that a lot. Well, actually, saw Carolyn do that in her early days. But anyhow, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. We know that we have passed, and this is 1 John chapter, make sure I get there, chapter 3, verse 14. We know that we have passed from death into life because we love the brethren. The one who does not love his brother is dwelling in death. Wow. We don't need to have anything against each other. So, you know. It's I look out there, really. I don't see anyone that I don't love. I just look forward to us all being in the kingdom of God. Anyway, powerful scriptures. You know, Abraham was called a friend of God. In James chapter 2, verse 23, and the scripture was fulfilled, which says, now Abraham believed God. That means he also obeyed God, and we know the story. And it was reckoned to him for righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. So if we obey God, if we obey Jesus Christ, God calls us a friend. We are friends of God. John chapter 16, verse 27. For the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me. Wow. You know, I get thinking about those things like that too. The Father loves us because we have loved Jesus Christ and what he did for us. And have believed that I came forth from God. So we know, I think all of us here would believe that Jesus Christ did come forth from God, that he was God in the beginning, that he made the earth, and he came forth from the Father. John chapter 17, verse 22, says, and I have given them the glory that you gave to me, this is Christ, in order that they may be one in the same way that we are one. So Christ wants us all to become one, just like him and the Father are one. That we all, you know, love one another. That I in them and you in me, that they may be perfected into one. And that the world may know that you did send me. I think we know that God the Father did send Jesus Christ. and have loved them as you have loved me. So the Father loves us the way he's loved Christ. That's what Christ said. Then in 1 John 3, chapter 3, verse 1, behold what glorious love the Father has given to us, that we should be called the children of God. I think that's a powerful statement. You know, we've all had our families. I go back to a family I grew up with, my mom, my dad. They've been dead for many, many years. My older brother died quite a few years ago. My older sister a couple of years ago. My younger sister, maybe a month ago. I can't keep up with time. And I went down to Odessa and preached her funeral. And all that's left is my baby sister and me of our family. But then, of course, we all grew up, and then we had our own family. And, you know, that... And I think, you know, we all love our family, or certainly should. But it says, behold, what glorious love the Father has given us, that we should be called the children of God, because we are God's children, and he loves us. For this very reason, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, we should love one another because love is from God. And everyone who loves has been begotten by God and knows God. That is, everyone who loves the kind of love, the depth of love that God is talking about. Or, you know, John here talking about. And everyone who loves has been begotten of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, because God is love. So if we've got a person that's filled with hate and they don't love, it says they do not know God. Verse 9, in this way, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. We would all die if it wasn't for that love that God the Father and God the Son had for us, had for his creation. And it's not his will that any should perish, but that all should have eternal life. Verse 10, in this act is the love, not that we loved God, rather that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also are duty-bound to love one another. Wow, and this is a... Let me read that again. This is a... it's a different version than the King James. It says, beloved, if God so loved us, you know, he's willing to send his Son, the Creator, to die for us, we also are duty-bound to love one another. No one has seen God at any time, yet if we love one another, God dwells in us, and his own love is perfected in us if we love one another. You know, there's cards back there to sign. There's people... You know, I see prayer requests come over my email. And with my memory today, which is not what it used to be, I may forget their names fairly quick, but I do pray for them, that God will intervene for his people around the world that are suffering. And I read this one little, just a short article about this lady that her husband was, I think, was killed at the very beginning of our entry into Afghanistan. And now we're having all this trouble. And she said her heart is just broken, worrying about those little Afghan children. What's going to happen to them? And so, you know, she's got love for those children. So should we, actually, and to love one another. 1 John chapter 4, verse 15. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him and he in God. And we have known and have believed the love that God has toward us. God is love. And the one who dwells in love is dwelling in God and God in him. Tough thing for us to understand, but you know, God's Holy Spirit dwells in us. God has given us, you know, a portion of his nature, of God's nature, that we can overcome our own nature, our Satan's nature. Verse 17. By this spiritual indwelling, which means, and this is not in the original Greek, but this version puts it in there, this spiritual indwelling, which I think is correct, but I don't think this verse is misleading us. The Holy Spirit is dwelling in us. By this spiritual indwelling, the love of God is perfected within us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. Because even as he is, so also are we in this world. You know, there's going to be a day of judgment. But God tells us, you know, if we've got the Holy Spirit dwelling within us and we love God and we love one another, we don't need to have any kind of fear of that, of that judgment that's coming. There is no fear, verse 18, there is no fear in the love of God. Rather, perfect love, the kind of love God wants us to have, casts out fear. Because fear has torment. And the one who fears has not been made perfect in the love of God. Teresa was telling me, she's told me a couple of times since we've been married, that about her dad. It was a local elder down there in Abilene for many years. And there was a couple of old ladies that at one time, I don't remember all the circumstances. Teresa would know it better, but he was visiting them, and they were, you know, getting on up there in years, and they were worried whether they would make it or not. They had fear, and so he tried to talk to him. Don't have that kind of fear. You believe in God, you know, you worship God. Don't have that fear. Perfect love casts out that kind of fear. We don't need it. God will take care of us. None of us are perfect. But God, who loves us, will take care of us. And we're told that if we have that kind of love, perfect love, yeah, we won't have that kind of fear. Now then, let's see what time it is. 20 minutes till. I've got about an hour to go, but what I would like to tell you, I guess I should. I thought about whether I should do this or not. But when I gave a sermonette last time, I hadn't given a sermonette in many, many years. I forgot all about, supposed to be limited in Scripture, but not a single person, they all showed their love to me, not a single person said a word, except for one. My dear Mr. Abbott. Oh, we love each other. But he told me, you know, he had quite a few scriptures for a sermonette. Okay, I'm sorry. It just skipped my mind, didn't even occur to me. I was just thinking, I've got to keep this time frame here anyway. But anyhow, just, you know, in closing, getting close to it anyway. Blessed are those who mourn. This is Matthew chapter 5, verse 4. For they shall be comforted. And that's a wonderful blessing just to think of it. If we see what's happening, see what's going to happen to little children, do we mourn? Do we mourn when we see this world? It says, blessed are they, those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And that's what we should do. Christ said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We shall be filled. That time is coming. And it says, but blessed are your eyes, verse 16, Matthew 13, verse 16. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous men have desired to see what you see and have not seen. You know, isn't that powerful? That many of the prophets and the righteous men, well, who, you know, I know Noah was called righteous. Abraham was a friend of God. Is it that we see some things and understand some things that many of the prophets and righteous men, they themselves had not, God had not revealed that to them at that time. They've desired to see what you see and have not seen, and to hear what you hear and have not heard. I think that's such a wonderful statement that Christ has made concerning us, the ones he's called to be first fruits. And so I'd just like to leave you with saying how we should think of the love of God, how important it is, and how God really commands us to love God with all our heart and to love our neighbor as ourselves.